And all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. I'm going to try to talk today for just a little while about the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. This is Pentecost Sunday, and your art already displays that and so much of the music, but also the music has pointed us as well toward the gifting of God's Holy Spirit to the world, to creation itself. And so trying to think about both of those at the same time can be a little bit of a challenge, especially in just a few minutes. But I want to share with you a little. It went okay the first time around, so I'm going to do it again. I'm going to sing a little solo. It's a song that I encountered way back when I was in high school. I was the neighborhood babysitter. I guess everybody thought I was seemed like a responsible young man. And so I was kind of the ecumenical babysitter. I babysat a Christian Science family's kids and an LDS, a Mormon family's kids. And there were some others, including a Roman Catholic family, beautiful family, Irish Catholic, very devout. And one Friday night after I tucked the kids in bed, I was at their piano looking at some of the music there, and they had their folk mass music. And I was just this little high school Nazarene boy, and some of these words were different for me. And this one song is a song, the only time I've ever seen it, was in this one folk mass book. But I, you know, did the little melody. I didn't actually do this many fingers. It was more like that. But I learned the melody, and the words just emblazoned themselves into my heart. So this song became very important to me as a teenager, and still is. I'm nearly 60 now, so I've been carrying it around a long time. And it goes like this, and so forgive me if I lose my pitch or something, but love this song. Spirit of God in the cool running water, blowing to greatness the trees on the hill. Spirit of God, creation is groaning. Fill the earth, bring it to birth, and blow where you will. Blow, blow, blow till I be but breath of the Spirit blowing in me. Amen. Not necessary. So this beautiful song, I recognize that it had some biblical resonance. I didn't yet know Psalm 104, which was we read from this morning to begin the service. Only later did I actually encounter this beautiful psalm that is traditionally part of a Pentecost Sunday lectionary reading, because it talks about God sending forth the divine spirit, the breath of God, upon all creatures. We're also celebrating, of course, the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul kind of brings these themes together. And I want to read this text for us this morning. This is Romans 8. I'll begin at verse 18 and go through verse 26. Paul wrote, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us or within us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of God's children. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of God's children. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our body. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is already seen? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs. That's what my translation here says, sighs. But unfortunately, or it's not a very good translation because it's the same word, groans, that's already been used twice in this passage. The very same Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. The Apostle Paul, in this passage of his letter to the Romans, uses the same word three times, and it's the only times we ever encounter this word in any of his letters. So I don't think it's a coincidence. And that it happens three times, very near each other, and that every time it's a different subject who's doing the groaning is kind of significant. All of creation groans. And again, if we don't know quite what the groaning is, he says, think of a woman who's in the pain of childbirth. Now, I've never been in that pain, but I've been with a woman who was three different times, and it seemed pretty intense. And, of course, part of the whole idea is that usually in anticipation of new life about to be delivered. So there's this great hope in the midst of this groaning and pain. And Paul says all of creation groans like that, yearning for its fulfillment. And then Paul says, but not just creation, but we ourselves. Even we who have received the first fruits, the gift of the Holy Spirit as a sign of the age to come and the fulfillment of creation, we've received that Spirit and we groan inwardly within ourselves as we await our adoption, the redemption of our singular body, of our body. But finally, he says, but even the Holy Spirit, who helps us in our weakness as we try to voice our pains, like this choir has done so beautifully with that anthem. I suppose it's not an anthem. Whatever that was, it was beautiful. And it voiced this great pain and groaning of all of creation, a yearning for the help and the compassion of God. And the Spirit groans within us in the same way. Amazing. Really amazing. And so that here we have from the Apostle Paul a weaving together of the presence of the work of the Holy Spirit for all of creation as well as for us who are the church, who have received the first fruits of the age to come. That's what we do here on Sundays, by the way. When you get together, especially when you're loving on each other, like during that time, that's already an indication of the age to come. Of hugs, of love shared, handshakes, words of encouragement and compassion. Already the Holy Spirit is working in this community right here, this people, a foretaste of the age to come. And yet, we also still groan. We know that. Well, the Holy Spirit, according to the Scriptures, is the breath of God. What a beautiful image. A lot of you know this, but if you don't know any Hebrew, I'll teach you one word. Some of you already know this word, ruach. It's a great word because you actually create a little bit of wind with it because it's got that at the end. You probably can create a little bit of other things as well. But ruach creates breath coming out of you. And ruach in the Bible is breath, wind. Sometimes it's translated spirit. It's the same word every time, ruach. And every time the ruach is mentioned, the breath of God, it's always a sign and the presence of life, of God bringing life where there was none. You know, this is the very way the Bible begins. I kind of messed it up this morning, the earlier one. I don't think I quoted it very well, so I think this time I better just go there. You might know this verse. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, of the waters, while a ruach from God swept over the face of the waters. The ruach, the breath, the Spirit of God, already at the very beginning, sweeping over those waters. I think we had some songs to that effect a little while ago. But that indication of the ruach right at the beginning says to the reader, says to us, God is about to bring life and hope and newness. where there doesn't seem to be any possibility of it, where there's just tsunami, God's breath, God's Spirit is at work to help creation take shape and take life. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, as you know, God breathes into this lump of clay, and this Adam, this human, becomes alive. How? Because God breathes into this creature. The same word used for that human being becoming a living soul or a living creature is used of all the other animals, also in Genesis 2, to indicate to us that all creatures live by this generous breathing of God, the gift of life. What a beautiful image. In Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, Genesis 8 says God remembers the covenant that He'd made with Noah and his family, and God sent a wind upon the waters. It's the same word, ruach. God breathing the Spirit, same thing as Genesis 1, to restore creation to integrity, to life, to the possibility of a future. Lovely, lovely stuff. Exodus chapter 14, the story of the Exodus. As the people of Israel reached the shores of the Red Sea, we were told that Moses took his staff and extended it over the waters, and Yahweh, God, sent a strong east ruach, wind, to blow across those waters all night long. And it's the same word again, blowing on the face of the waters to bring about the possibility of a future and hope and life. What an image. And some of you might recall that after the Exodus, the choir of Israel, much like this one, I think there was a male choir led by Moses, and then Miriam had the women's choir. Maybe they put them together. You'd think they could all sing together like you all did here today so beautifully. You get a lot more rich harmony that way. But the hymn that the children of Israel sang includes these words: "You, O God, blew with the breath, the ruach of your nostrils." That's all it took to separate the waters from the waters. Very much like Genesis 1. Always the breath of God blowing to bring new life and new hope. Some of you remember that the prophet Ezekiel has that beautiful image of Ezekiel sees a valley of dry bones. God asks, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel says, "Only you know that, Lord." And God says, "Preach. Preach to this valley of dry bones. Preach to the winds, to the ruach." And the ruach comes blowing down through that valley, restoring life where there was nothing but death and dry bones. That's where we get that song, "The ankle bones connected to the shin bone." You know that old man. Ezekiel 37. This gift of the Holy Spirit, of God's ruach, is God's very own breath of life, exhaled generously, blowing and flowing in and around and through us and among us, and the Bible says, among all creatures, giving life. Wow. No wonder, then, that the Nicene Creed confesses that the Holy Spirit is the Lord, the giver of life. And that brings us to this Psalm 104 that we've already used in our worship this morning. What a beautiful, beautiful psalm it is. My favorite, I have to confess. And in the prayer that was we were led in by the worship leader, this also comes from Psalm 104. Hear these words again. Beautiful. It is breath from you. What's the Hebrew word there? Anybody tell me? Ruach. Yeah, I heard it. I heard it. Good. Thank you for that participation. I'm a professor. I like, you know, you can interact with me. You can even raise your hand if you want. It'd be all right with me. Okay. It is ruach from you that gives us life. And by the way, read Psalm 104. You'll find out it's about all the diversity of life. It's not just about people. In fact, human beings get very little mention. We're there. And of course, a human being wrote this thing. But human beings they play just a small role in this big tapestry of life. It's beautiful. I wish if you let me, I'll come back and just preach from Psalm 104. But anyway, it is ruach from you that gives us life. Without it, we are dust. Think back to Genesis 2. It's not just Adam, the human, that's created out of the dust. It's all the creatures come from the same dust. and all creatures are enlivened by God's own breath. Wow. When you send forth your ruach, notice that even this translation, you use breath in one place and spirit in another. Same word. When you send forth your breath, wind, spirit, we with all creatures are created. You renew the face of the ground. Wow. I think somebody should say amen right about now. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I want to share a comment from John Calvin on this very passage in Psalm 104. I love this. And I don't love John Calvin for a lot of things. I love him for this. The world is daily renewed. Is daily renewed. Because God sends forth God's own Spirit. And as soon as God has sent forth this Spirit, all things are created. I love it. It's present tense. Calvin's catching exactly what Psalm 104 says. All things are created, and you are always renewing the face of the ground. In this way, Calvin says, in this way, by sending forth this Spirit breath, what was God's own, what belonged exclusively to God, God makes to be ours. God gives us this Spirit of life. Breathe. Go ahead. Take a nice deep breath. Take one more. Nice deep breath. Do it. There's plenty. Yes. Now, granting all of this, which to me is a beautiful picture of the Creator's generosity in bringing forth life and breathing forth life, it's also clear from Scripture that God can breathe upon us in very specific and unique ways. There isn't just the general gift of the Spirit in terms of life, although that's very important. And we should never forget that. But I think about my dog, Mindy, who was on my lap as I tried to write this sermon. She's a Bichon Frise, or I guess they're just lap dogs. I find her very annoying, actually, but she's very loving. Anybody have one of those? Bichon? Okay. Very loyal, terribly loyal, and obsessively loving, and wants to be on somebody's lap all the time. I mean, half the time, I don't even know how she got there. It's like this attachment, you know. But I thought about the fact that Mindy, our doggy, also shares in the ruach of life. When she breathes, it's the generous breath of God in which she shares just as much as it is with me. And yet, I don't think that Mindy exhausts this Spirit or perfectly embodies what it means to be a creature with the breath of life. She's a wonderful little doggy. Glad to have her. She's very loving. But I don't really embody that Spirit perfectly either. I do get to share in it, as you do. Presumably, none of us here really actually is the perfect embodiment of this Ruach of God. Because as Christians, we confess that really only one person has been the perfect embodiment. We call him the Christ, the Anointed One, the Anointed of the Holy Spirit. So we all share in this gift of the Spirit, but only one has been the pure presence of the Spirit in the world. I used to, because I'm being optimistic here. Every now and then I get what are called cluster headaches. It's a form of migraine. I used to get them on I won't say on the clock, but on the calendar every 18 months. And it'd be for a month long, and they're nasty. Anybody deal with cluster headaches? Some of you probably have chronic migraines. I don't know how you do it. I just want to say, and I pray for you. But even these migraines are pretty tough, these cluster. What I found is the best way for me to deal with it is pure oxygen from a tank. When I would feel one coming on, I just strap on that thing and turn on that pure oxygen and breathe as deep as I can. And it's kind of weird to me because I'm breathing oxygen all the time. You know, what's the deal here? Why can't I just breathe this stuff and have those headaches go away? But there's something about just the pure oxygen out of that tank up here, breathing deep. And if I do it right at the beginning of the headache, it'll it'll stave it off and I'm okay. If I let that headache develop too much, it won't work. But my point is, you know, yes, we all breathe this oxygen. We all share in this breath of life. But the purity of this oxygen from the tank makes me think of Jesus, basically. That in Jesus Christ, we're taught, the Holy Spirit truly dwelled in perfection and fullness, such that He, again, we call the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one through whom the pure stuff comes. An easy way to think about this is, think about Samson. You've heard of Samson. And as one of the judges of Israel, he received the Spirit of God in a special way. The Spirit of the Holy One breathed upon Samson. In fact, we're told that as Samson sees these Philistines coming toward him, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Samson. He's tied up and he was able to break these bonds. He took up the jawbone of an ass. And he killed roughly 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. In the power of the Holy Spirit, I might add. Now, I don't find much comfort in that. I don't. I believe the Scriptures. I believe that he was empowered by the Spirit. But until Jesus came and lived fully what it means to be filled and moved by the Spirit, we don't really have a picture of someone who's living fully in the breath of God. But Jesus is that picture. Hallelujah. He never picked up the jawbone of any donkeys to kill anybody. In fact, a beautiful picture of Jesus. We sang earlier a song, Spirit of Gentleness. And I didn't make the connection earlier, but it hit me the second time around. Listen to this description of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Beautiful, beautiful. It's a quotation from the prophet Isaiah, actually. But it's God speaking through the prophet. And hear these words as applied to Jesus. Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit, my ruach, my spirit wind breath, upon him. And he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not wrangle. I like that verb. He will not wrangle or cry aloud. So he's not into making a big scene or being noisy. It's not Samson. It's very different. Nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed. You've probably read that before, but to me it's a beautiful image. A bruised reed would be one that's, it's just hanging on there. And Jesus doesn't come along and go like, oh, forget you, knock it. He will not break a bruised reed, nor quench a smoldering wick. A wick that's just barely hanging on. Jesus doesn't come along and go, just put you out. Get you out of your misery. Jesus nurtures that life, that possibility, like the Holy Spirit. He will not quench a smoldering wick until he brings justice to victory. And you get the idea that it's a slow, painful process doing this, because Jesus doesn't use violence, does not force people, but in the spirit of gentleness draws us along. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. And we're those Gentiles right here today. We may have some Jewish folks here too as well. But generally, the beautiful image here is we hope in this anointed one of the Spirit, because he is the perfect embodiment of this Ruach of God. So we remember that Jesus, after his crucifixion and his resurrection, appeared in the midst of a locked room to frightened disciples and said to them, peace be unto you. He said it twice, peace. Then he breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathes upon us. It is through Jesus that the church receives this pure stuff, the Ruach of God, that flows among us and within us to renew and to restore us to life, to revive the church. Not just giving any kind of life, not just life in general, but life like Jesus' life. Because now we've seen that life embodied in his words and in his deeds. So that as Romans 8 says, God, as God gives us this Spirit, desires that we will become conformed to the image of the Son of God. But life is hard. It's tough. Creation groans. We know that. Some of you this morning probably are groaning under some of the weight, the pain, the struggle of creation. And we remember, as we started, that Paul says, creation groans, we too groan, but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit itself, groans deep within us with utterings that cannot be put into words, yearnings, pain, crying out to God, such that our brother, theological ancestor, John Wesley, wrote of this passage, nay, not only the universe, not only the children of God, but even the Spirit of God also, as it were, groans while helping us in our weaknesses. May that same Spirit groan within us and teach us also to share in the sufferings, the groanings, the pains of those around us, that we might be a sign of the age to come, where creation experiences its full freedom. May it be so even today. Let us prepare for prayer. O God, this morning, that your breath, your very life breath spirit, so generously blowing across all of creation, across the waters, bringing life and bringing hope, that same Spirit that you have breathed in a special and unique way into Jesus, your Son, in whose name we pray. Oh God, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that you breathe upon us through Christ. May we be receptive to the gift that you give us. For it is the gift of your very own self, outpoured toward us and through us. This is a great mystery. We do not pretend to understand it. May we not think that we can manipulate or control or entirely figure out the mystery of your Spirit in and among us. But may we be open and pliable in your presence. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We believe on the basis of Paul's ancient letter that your Spirit is groaning throughout creation today. Wherever people, wherever creatures cry out in pain or struggle or hunger. As Psalm 104 says, the lions roar, praying to you for their food. All of creation looks to you. And oh God, today there are people hungry who are very near to us as we pray. And we pray, O God, by the grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would be people that you can use to open up your hand to feed those who are hungry, to comfort those who are downtrodden, the homeless, the hopeless, all of whom, O God, you love with an everlasting love. I pray for this church to be a community that bears witness to the age to come by the way they love one another, by the way they care for one another's needs, and then allow that love and care to flow forth from this place to touch all around with the love and the hope of God in Jesus Christ. We pray for your world, O God. We pray for all of its peoples. We pray for peace. We pray for the grace to help us to understand and to strive to understand those with whom we disagree. Grant us a compassionate heart, O God. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the leaders of all nations. We pray especially this morning for our pastor here, Pastor April. Thank you for her labor here, her faithfulness to this people, her spiritual gifts, her leadership, and the hard work that she has done to gain this doctoral degree. Bless her in her time away, and may she be restored to this congregation, filled with your Holy Spirit, that she might be again a beacon of hope and of life and of a future that you give to this people. We thank you for all your gifts, for the gift of music today. Oh, Lord, thank you. Music that has touched us so deeply and inspired us to be open to your presence, to your Spirit in our midst. We pray that your Holy Spirit would make us one people who are looking for ways to include all who live around here in the people of God. The people that are gathered in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in the name of Christ our Lord, the one who taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.